you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs. Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's all happy and good, obviously. The make sure that everything's handled correctly and everything will be good on Monday. That I was saying to David this morning when we were just kind of chatting about it, and this is it almost goes without saying, but this is the kind of game that you have to win because you're better than this team. They're coming to your place. You've got an advantage. If you somehow don't win, that's the kind of thing that kind of ruins your season. I know anybody can beat anybody on a given Sunday and all that stuff, but this is a game they really need to get done.
Yeah, you get the Carolina Panthers at home. You need to win that. And I felt, guys, I felt similarly about the Colts game, and I felt similarly last week about the Rams game. But at home against the Carolina team that has been bad defensively, has a bunch of injuries on defense, respect to them for getting better offensively when they made the quarterback switch they had to make. But that's a team that's been in disarray for a while, and it's going to take an awful lot of time, I think, for the Carolina Panthers to dig out some of the mess that they've got going on there.
So, Brad, we heard from DJ Moore yesterday. We talked to him, as you know, every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. By Wednesday, maybe he's had some more time to think about things, watch the tape more. What did you make of the way he was asked and answered the communication between him and Caleb Williams and what he thinks about his young quarterback and how that relationship and that chemistry has been so scrutinized and how he has handled it?
I mean, it's not any more scrutinized than it was when Justin Fields was here and he said, you know, how much he liked Justin. And so everybody thought that that was a sign that they should keep Justin. Like, it's what makes it different than a game like baseball, for sure, is baseball, they go out and there's a game the next day, right? Football, there's so much time between games, you get to parse what people say for 2, 3, 4 days before you kind of stumble into the next ball game. I think they're fine. DJ hasn't been supplanted by someone else in the passing game. It's not like there's a clear connection with Keenan or with Rome. And, geez, why is he giving some of these targets that used to belong to DJ to these guys? The passing game as a whole has been disjointed. It hasn't been in rhythm as frequently as it needs to be. And so I think when it comes together collectively, everyone's going to be a little bit happier.
We had an interesting conversation this morning about Tory Taylor. Always love talking about the guy. Obviously, a fourth-round pick, a lot to give up for a punter, but the guy's now the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. We saw how impactful his punting was last week. David has now, a couple different times, kind of hammered this idea that he's concerned that the having a punter as good as Taylor could change their mindset when it comes to fourth down. In other words, they won't be as aggressive on fourth downs, on going for it, which sometimes people want to do because they'll have this option of the punter. I think it's really early days to worry about that because I don't think they're ready to get fourth down conversions yet. But it's an interesting idea that, that seems to be a little bit of a sliver in his brain.
Yeah, Dave's got a lot of spare time, apparently. More than I would have imagined with his current schedule to be cooking that one up. Here's my initial reaction. Like, they don't want to try to pick up a fourth down run on the ball right now, unless they're trying to catch the opponent off guard. They did run the ball better against the Rams, no question about it. Small sample size, terrible run defense, fortunately. The Panthers don't stop the run or the pass real well, so maybe they get that going. But I don't. Maybe that's a tiny tiebreaker in a few certain instances where Matt Eberflus would say, "Okay, am I going to go for it on fourth down or am I going to punt?" But I can't see this dramatically swaying what they're going to do when they're, you know, midfield-ish, and they've got a fourth and a couple yards. I think Dave might have overthought this one.
I feel compelled to supply a little context here, guys. So opening drive against the Rams after a week where we really urged Shane Waldron to establish some sort of identity, something about a power football, run the ball, fourth and two at your own 44, opening drive. I would have thought you'd go for it.
Really?
Yes.
I would.
Fourth and two at your own 44. I'd kick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Opening drive?
Have you watched the Bears play?
Well, I'm just saying that metrics would tell you that a lot of teams, I bet you Sean McVay would have gone for it.
I bet you Dan Campbell would have not made the Super Bowl.
I bet you McVay would have not gone for it because he had like his third left tackle of the season, his third left guard of the season, and a rookie sixth-round pick at center.
It's a valid question when you have a trend in the league about fourth and less than five, and everybody wants to go for it because they feel like the metrics tell you to do that. And when you have a punter who you consider a weapon and you've devoted a fourth-round pick to getting, it does naturally change your mindset. You're more likely to say, we can win the hidden yardage battle, call on the punter rather than take a risk. That's all,
well,
Brad.
Punters, I'd punt there, Dave. Fourth and two at my own 44 opening, I'd punt. I would punt.
In fairness, I would wonder, Brad, you know, you look at the Bears, and they have managed a total of 3 points in the first quarters of all these games, and as a result, yeah, they are trailing the majority of the game. I think I saw a statistic that the Minnesota Vikings have played from behind like a handful of plays. I think 85% of the time they are either they are ahead, and the rest of the time they're pretty much even. But there are like 6 plays, I want to say, something crazy, where they're actually trailing.
Yeah, and that's why we get good news. The Panthers are coming in.
Yes.
I think I mentioned the other day, Carolina's allowed 37 points in the first quarter of this season, so yes, they're giving up almost a touchdown and a field goal in the first quarter of every game.
But I guess the point would be, if you're playing a team like that, are you more likely to go for it on fourth down? Or you know, you, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I would think you'd punt against Carolina as well because you feel like you've got the superior football team,
and you're going to get the ball back, and you're going to
you've got the superior football team. Why go for it on your side of the field in the first quarter? Risk not getting it, and then setting up the inferior team with a short field.
You'd probably call fake, Biggs. Let's face it.
He loves the fake.
We could talk about the fake, but they're just not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So
they haven't called a fake since week 7 of the 2020 season. Like they claim they've got them, they just don't use them. I'm a little skeptical.
Let's talk about Tevin Jenkins. He did not practice, and I think that As I said earlier during the pick six, this is a bigger week probably for Tevin Jenkins because he needs to be on the field, maybe more than the Bears need him on the field because of what's at stake and what he needs to prove and the questions about him. What do you expect, and how will they be challenged depth-wise if he's not able to go?
Well, they've got guys, and Nate Davis played okay this past week, and we've seen Matt Pryor in the starting lineup, right? So I don't know that they're super challenged. Like we mentioned it the other morning, Derek Brown, the Pro Bowl defensive tackle for the Panthers, he's out for the season. Carolina's a team that's near the very bottom of the league in terms of sacks. I think the Panthers have got five of them so far. So it would be great if Tevin could be out there. I don't know that Matt Eberflus dropped too many clues yesterday. He seemed sort of optimistic. I don't want to read too much in injury intel on a Wednesday unless they tell you point blank it's A or B. But we've talked about the availability issue with Tevin in the past, and here's one thing: he started the first four games of the season for the first time in his career. Now we know he didn't finish this past game, but being out there is important to him.
I'm curious, Brad, when we start talking about putting together a game plan where your 15 first plays are there, and you usually, why is that not working for the Bears? I mean, I understand that maybe it works against Carolina because they're allowing things, but you usually see your best plays kind of laid out by a coaching staff. Why is the pre-planned play not successful?
Yeah, if we knew the answer to that, they'd probably write us a check and tell us all to provide that for them. Yeah, some of it I think has been self-inflicted stuff that they haven't been able to get out of their own way. They had short pass to Cole Kmet on third, and I want to say it was third and four on that opening drive this past Sunday, and it might have been Rome that was out there blocking, but they didn't get a great block out there on the edge. And it was a deal where Cole caught it close to the line of scrimmage, like he was going to have to gain some yardage. And so the play was sort of blown up. And they obviously felt like they had a good call. Like they're going to have, this is going to be there. We're going to get the block. This will pick up the yardage. And it didn't. And they were frustrated. And I'm sure that's something that maybe Shane Waldron will be asked about today. I don't know what he'll say. He wouldn't talk about script, having a script last week. I had to reach out to people who've worked with him previously to find out what his MO is in terms of that. But hopefully they can start scoring points earlier, which I think would relieve some of the pressure. And then you're not leaning so heavily on the defense, because this is a game they should take care of business, but they're not good enough to you can't just roll out the football and say the Bears are going to win this game. They've got to go out there and execute. And back to Tevin real quick, because you guys had asked about that. He's got 28 starts in his career. He's played 100% of the snaps in only 18 of those 28 starts. Now, in fairness to him, there are a handful of those where they were rotating them, where for whatever reason and with various coaches involved, he was splitting a little time. Maybe he wasn't quite full strength, or maybe they were looking at someone else, or they had the early season evaluation. But that's a lot of did not finish ball games when for a lineman anyway, when you're talking about the snap count and having 10 games where he did start but didn't get 100% of the snaps.
A lot of conversation about the big trade that gave the Bears the foundation on which they will build for years to come. Brad, in your mind, what is the proper amount of time that needs to pass before you're willing to put it into some perspective and to look at it as maybe the best trade in Bears history?
Well, I think you've got to see what Caleb develops into, right? You're watching him right now, and you're seeing him grow and get better. But it for the Bears to be some blockbuster belly scratch and laugher of a trade in the Bears' favor, he's got to be elite, right? And I don't think anybody that's looking at this objectively can say he's elite at this point. You got to see what Bryce Young happens with him, and you can't write him off yet. He's on the sideline where he should be because of the poor play to begin this season. But you got to see what Caleb becomes. Like the Bears don't win the trade in dramatic fashion if their quarterback isn't a superstar.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I'm curious, Brad, so we saw DJ Moore yesterday, and he was asked about the touchdown that he caught, and he said that the first thing that you need to know is where you are on the field, so you got to know where you are in the route tree for the quarterback's looking at, and he said he believed second or third read, and he said that he knew because it was a linebacker that the ball would be coming back around, and then he kind of joked that if the ball hadn't come back around, there'd be another discussion on the sidelines, and everyone had a laugh, and he said it was all happy vibes, and he gave the ball to Caleb, but everyone wants to know about DJ, is the decoy thing getting to him? He's used that word both of the last two times we've spoken to him. Is he not getting fed the ball? Why is he not getting the ball down the field as opposed to just behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage? Is everything copacetic? You win and everything's happy and you can make a joke, but I'm just curious, what was your take on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think everything's okay with him because when DJ's having a big game, I don't think you necessarily see a completely different DJ on the sideline, right? I don't know that you see a guy who is chatting up teammates and saying, hey, you know, picking up the tablet and saying, hey, did you see this? Look at this. Like, I think when the numbers aren't there, well, what's up with DJ? And people look at him and they want to scrutinize his every action or inaction. But maybe he doesn't get quite the same attention on the sideline when it's the late in the third quarter and he's got 8 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown. You're not wondering if something's off with DJ. So I think he's kind of the same guy. I think the relationship with the quarterback is going to be fine. I just, again, the passing game as a whole has been disjointed, and that's not all on Caleb. That's not all on DJ. That's not all on the offensive line. They're part of the issue here as well. It's not all on Shane Waldron, but he's in the cauldron himself. So they've just got to get better. I wrote it in my mailbag yesterday, guys. Yards, you can look at all sorts of metrics for defenses and pick out what you want. I found one. I was like, wow, this is interesting. The Bears' next 5 opponents, including the Panthers, it's 5 of the 6 worst pass defenses in terms of yards per attempt, okay? 5 of the 6. The only one they don't have in the bunch is 32nd. I couldn't tell you who 32 is, but I know that the next 5 are their next 5 opponents. So should be an opportunity to make some plays in the passing game, and maybe everyone will look like a happier family on the sideline.
Keep smiling, Brad.
You're the best, buddy.
Thanks,
thank
bud.
You.
Have a great day, guys.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, good stuff.
Always fun to talk to Biggs.
Always fun to talk to
Biggs. Did I misportray your thoughts?
Not any more than usual.
Oh, I thought I had done that very well. I just kind of asked him for his
take. That's good. I'm glad he got his. I'm glad we got his take on it.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I would be very curious to know if
valid question.
I gotta tell you, I'm also really interested in looking at the numbers of how many teams are going for it. Is it the same amount as a year ago? How is it working, etc.?
Whether it's kicking field goals or having a punter as a weapon, going for it on fourth down maybe not as cool as it used to be.
Well, I mean, the,
a lot of teams are kicking longer field goals this year.
That's what I was going to say. If you can kick a 60-yard field goal, does that not change your thinking more than if you can punt the ball and pin someone? I don't know. It's an interesting debate to have. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
That's a whole shot. So I was thinking he played outside. I had to go inside, wind him back out, and then assess where the safety was. And he thought I was going to just run straight. And now we know we're going to go the Caleb way and we're going to get it right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That, of course, the voice of DJ Moore, and he's talking about the play they missed on, and now they're going to do it Caleb's way.
The Caleb way. Yes, Caleb way. That sounds like something, a street they would name outside Soldier Field one day, perhaps. The Caleb way. What he's talking about is the touchdown they missed on, which was a simple miscommunication, a conversion route that he didn't convert, and I think that whatever the Caleb way was, I think he'll try to adjust to that. I think it's interesting that we're studying this relationship to the extent that it's being studied, because it is pretty early in the season and in their relationship together to be doing that and to be suggesting that it might not be all that great yet. Chemistry will happen. You have to have success, and they haven't really had a ton of it. They really haven't had a downfield passing game.
No.
And is it because of the miscommunication or is it because of the lack of protection? I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I think it's fairly obvious that for whatever reason, the quarterback isn't as accurate down the field as we imagined him to be, as he's capable of being. I think that comes down to protection. I don't think there's a lot of time in which he can pick apart a guy and take his time on a throw. I mean, he's missed some throws, let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
But I also think that there are protection issues, and I believe that what you saw last week was a quarterback who was willing to take a check down. He had been coached to do so, as opposed to holding on and trying to get a pass down the field. He needs to take fewer hits, David.
Yeah, that's
he's taking too many
hits. That's smart. What do you think he means when he says the Caleb way? I interpret it as quarterbacks will read certain routes differently, or that maybe be predetermined to go a certain direction just because they're more comfortable. Caleb may be more comfortable throwing that pass than the one that they would have converted off that coverage. And maybe you start to learn your tendencies with every quarterback you work with. Think about DJ Moore, which was a little surprising, I'll give you that, about this instance, is that he's played with so many quarterbacks.
Yes.
That I think he's more adaptable than people are giving him credit for. Now that he's doing this again, it's getting more attention because of the quarterback he's adapting to is Caleb Williams.
I think it's fairly obvious from what we've seen that they're trying to squeeze him inside, and for the most part, he's been taking the route that's given to him as opposed to the route that the quarterback is looking for. And I think what he's saying is whatever the route called is, he's going to now run that route because the quarterback's going to be looking for it.
Does it seem to you that his reactions are more negative this year than in the past, or are we just noticing his reactions more because he seems to be on camera a lot?
Yeah, I think,
and I don't know why.
Honestly, I think there is a lot of presupposition going on when people are trying to read his body language. So he came out last year and was pretty ardent about the idea that they needed to stay with Justin Fields. He's our quarterback, and there's nobody in the draft that's better than Justin. They just need to stay with him. And I think that has been taken to mean that he didn't like the idea of changing quarterbacks. I think he was being a good teammate a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you heard him say it was really cool to have somebody lead you with the pass, whatever he was talking about when they were first working out together, I think that was another thing that was supportive of Caleb as opposed to Justin Fields. But I do think that people are looking at him trying to see if he's upset about the change of quarterback or working with a young guy again because he's more of a veteran player. He's in his prime, and why aren't they getting him the ball more? And he's clearly upset as a result. I think when you're a receiver and you take big hits, you're hurting. I think that's hard to do.
Well, I think part of the problem is why a play like that stands out as much as it has stood out this week in retrospect is because DJ Moore is not part of the downfield passing game enough. And so
he's
getting these opportunities that are limited. And when you look at him getting more targets than the other two wide receivers, I think that is true, but everything's relative. He's still not getting targeted enough, especially downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, through the first quarter of the season, and we're almost through the first quarter of the season, four games into a 17-game schedule, the biggest disappointment about the Bears, to me, you can harp on about the offensive line if you wish because you're always going to be right, but we spent all offseason dreaming about this wide receiver trio that was going to be so dangerous and threaten teams down the field. It's been a myth. It's a rumor. It hasn't happened.
Well, and I think that, so when you say we're going to do it the Caleb way, I think what you're kind of acknowledging is that maybe at this stage in his career, as he's getting used to the NFL, as the players are bigger and faster and stronger, as he's maybe not seeing the things that he did when he was in college, that maybe the quarterback isn't capable right now of making the kind of sight adjustments that you need to make when receivers are reacting to the coverage they're seeing. So as opposed to reacting to the coverage, he's just going to run whatever the route is, and he's going to stay with the route. He's not going to expect the quarterback to then figure out, oh, they cut him off here, so he's going over here. He's just going to run the route. I think that's what he's saying.
That is what he's saying, and it's going to evolve over time. He's getting the focus because he has been on camera a lot.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I think you'll see this weekend, I'm projecting or predicting, but against the Panthers, they should be more efficient and explosive in the passing game against a defense that's going to give them those opportunities. And then you go to Jacksonville, where you go to London to play Jacksonville, and you've got an opportunity to build off the momentum. The Bears have a real chance here over the next two games to get Caleb Williams feeling very good about himself moving forward and taking that off week as a time to kind of recalibrate and set himself up for still a very good, promising rookie season.
Yeah, and I mean, the very fact that the next, Biggs, he told us the next five of the next five opponents are five of the six worst pass defense teams that are in the NFL would seemingly indicate that the Bears can make hay with this.
It's an invitation.
It's an invitation.
It's an invitation because that is going to be something we look back at as a pivot point in the season potentially. So I think that it's an interesting question. A couple of texters. So in the context of all this, and Caleb Williams and his rookie year and this week with the Panthers and talking about the trade, is the we're going to compare it to, you know, always going to be Caleb Williams versus C.J. Stroud as far as this trade in historical perspective. What role will Jaden Daniels' season have in whether or not that was a good trade or not? And does Jaden Daniels, does his success with Washington so far, and he has been as good as any quarterback in the NFL through four games, does that have an effect on whether or not you took the right quarterback? Because that's always going to be, C.J. Stroud is the guy for this trade. Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy that looks like he's going to be compared to for a very long time.
Two people I know well in the league told me that Jaden Daniels was the better quarterback and they should be looking at Jaden Daniels. I kind of dismissed it at the time, but they have since, you know, what did I tell you? But I think there were people who believed that he would be the better NFL quarterback or used better in whatever system. So I think I will always remember that idea. I don't know that that's the case, but if we're going to be measuring C.J. Stroud and Super Bowls, we're also going to have to measure Jaden Daniels in Super Bowls. I think Caleb Williams is fine. I think he was a good pick. I think he's going to be a great player, and I think he's going to improve and get better.
What he's done already is made the Washington Commanders the trendy pick to be the surprise team in the NFC East. They look like a team that could win that division, and it still feels premature to me to anoint anybody, but he does look like a guy that's maybe a little better, faster than people maybe anticipated. Maybe he's going to be the best rookie quarterback out of this class. That would surprise me over the long haul, but it still looks possible. Herm Edwards, the former coach at Arizona State, maybe we'll listen to him a little bit when we come back, but he was on the station last night with Gabe Ramirez. Great interview. Herm compared him to Randall Cunningham, and that's pretty high praise.
Yeah, that's very high praise.
You look at Randall Cunningham, and that's a pretty dynamic quarterback from the past, and Jaden Daniels has been terrific for the Commanders, so that's going to be a fun comparison. It'll be just nice to if this evolves into a rivalry, if this evolves into Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, or whatever you want to call Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams, that would be great because that means the Bears are relevant and good and as good as we think they can be.
But that storyline, this is Carolina, then you got Jacksonville, then you got a bye week, and then we can get into that storyline. Aren't we going to just concentrate on that one?
Well,
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the reality. The reality of life in the NFL is the Bears are in the best division in football. If you look at the first, and I'll call it the first quarter of the season, even though it's no longer the first quarter because there are 17 games now, but this used to be referred to as the first quarter. Every team in the NFC, there is not a losing team in the NFC North, and in fact, they have two winning teams. They're the only division in football with two teams with winning records. Both of Minnesota and Detroit have winning records. The Bears and the Packers are both 2-2. So it is interesting that they are 11-5 against all opposition, and that's the best division in football. The AFC West is 10-6.
Coming into this year, I thought it was either the AFC North or the NFC North as far as the best division, the deepest divisions in football. And the AFC North has been somewhat disappointing because of the Bengals and Ravens, but the NFC North is delivered. I would think depth-wise, that is the best right now division in the NFL.
312-644-6767. We'll give you a little bit of sound. You get a chance to hear what we're talking about, and we'll take your phone calls next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's not surprising. You know, I still communicate with Jaden. I talk to him once a week. No different than I did when he was at LSU. And I just think, you know, the moment's going to be never too big for him. And I told him when he was in college, I said, you know, you remind me of, and you know, he looked at me. And I said, Randall Cunningham. You know, I played with Randall in Philly, and they were about the same height. Same kind of delivery of a football, and he has great touch, Jaden, on the long ball. He can throw the long pass, right? You know, he has running skills. There's no doubt about that. So I just think the more he plays, the better he's going to get. And now all of a sudden Washington and that organization and that fan base, they have hope.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Herm Edwards. He was on last night on The Score with Gabe Ramirez. And interesting, you know, has a lot relationship with Jaden Daniels and used that that comparison. He reminds him of a guy that might have been ahead of his time. He might have been a quarterback that could do some things in a time when
athletic,
the NFL didn't know
mobile,
how to use that.
Yes. Strong arm,
yes.
Winner.
Certainly a lot more guys like that now than when Randall Cunningham
played. Herm Edwards recruited Jaden Daniels with Arizona State before leaving there, and obviously Jaden Daniels left Arizona State as well and went to LSU to win the Heisman Trophy. This is a tremendous story, and it's relevant because of the natural comparisons to Caleb Williams. And obviously this week you look at what Jaden Daniels has done in Washington and what Caleb Williams is doing in Chicago. And obviously Jaden Daniels is having a better year so far. It's early. The progress that Caleb Williams, though, has made is not insignificant. It's just not as loud and it's not as explosive. But he has made progress, and he did so last week in kind of playing within himself, or maybe processing things quicker. And there was a good story in the Sun-Times this morning by Patrick Finley pointing out how Caleb Williams has adapted to the blitz better, and his numbers against the blitz are improving, which might have teams. Remember early on, that was like, this is the book on Caleb Williams. You come after him, you rattle him, and you can make him, you know, make mistakes. Getting better at that too. So it's going to be more gradual than people maybe want, but it's happening.
312-644-6767. Let's start with Mike. Mike's in Glenview. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I think you're nailing it when it comes to the DJ Moore and Caleb relationship. Remember, DJ got paid also. So I think he's the kind of guy who might feel pressure. And yeah, I just keep first level. And I think we want to get to next level and the nuance, but that will come. And you're right, with a lesser schedule in front of us, I think maybe we'll start to see some of that magic. So I'm still hopeful.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I think we are too.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to be. It's really, you'd be overreacting to bail now. If you believed in Caleb Williams coming into this season through four games, you maybe haven't seen as much growth as you anticipated, but you have seen enough to stay in there and to not bail. So no, I think you're right, Mike. I think that's a good phone call.
Let's try Steve. Steve's in Forest Park. Hi, Steve.
How you doing this morning, guys?
Good.
Real good.
Well, I saw a breakdown today that Jaden Daniels is not playing a dumbed down offense. It's a simpler offense. And Ryan Clark showed that it's the least amount of defensive conflict in the NFL. And, you know, Kurt Warner's my favorite, and he's always talking about defensive conflict. So if they're the least amount of defensive conflict in the NFL, that should mean that the Bears have a better offense when it comes to defensive conflict. So Jaden Daniels performing in a simple offense that has the least amount of defensive conflict, you can't make the comparisons between the offenses.
Just curious, what do you mean by defensive conflict? I'm not quite sure what you're referring to there.
Well, Kurt Warner and Ryan Clark were talking about putting the defense in conflict, having a high guy, a low guy, or a specific choice that the defense has to make to cover one guy or the other.
I see. I think you're making a good point in that. Thank you for the phone call. Jaden Daniels is playing a version of offense closer to what he ran in college than Caleb Williams is with the Bears.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that. Here's the other thing that you can't dismiss before we get to a break, Mully.
Yes.
The Commanders, according to a lot of the offensive line metrics, ESPN, PFF, they're, by ESPN standards, the top run-blocking offensive line in the league.
Wow.
The offensive line is the number four pass-blocking team in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. Number four in pressures allowed. So that's courtesy of Grant Paulson on X. The point being, Jaden Daniels deserves credit for everything that he has done. He's dynamic, and he's already been great. But he also has more help up front than Caleb Williams has received. This offensive line has been in shambles so far.
Oh, it has. There's no shadow of a doubt. And I think everybody knows that that's the case and that that's got to be addressed come the offseason. But that's an offseason problem. I don't know what you can do about it now. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your calls next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.